I had to think of the word in Amos chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. God gives grace to everything, no matter who is in front here or who is speaking. It is God's glorious word that goes out to all of us. And I think you feel like I feel sometimes, that you are sitting somewhere by yourself and the thoughts of God are passing by, and you see the connections of the Word and what God is doing. And then the inspiration of the Spirit comes so mightily that you wish you could be in the meeting now, so that you can pass on these connections as freshly and as vividly as they are given to you by grace. And when we look back to the years, we know that none of us knew how things should and will continue. When we look back now, we have to say that the Lord has led us on the right road for the sake of His name, and raised His banner over us, and has let us hear words of life, and has given us insight so that we can understand things in the right way. I already had to think of the word from Ecclesiastes 3 last Sunday in Zurich, the first two verses, and then also verse 14. Here it says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. And then verse 14, I know that whatsoever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that man should fear before Him. That which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I am particularly concerned about the beginning here and the end. God has appointed a time for everything, and no one can get ahead of it, and no one needs to be left behind, because God does in due time what He has purposed to do. Even when we read the Gospels, Jesus' ministry has been described in them. We read the book of Acts, in which it is written down in what way the Spirit of God works in and through the New Testament church. We then read the epistles, in which everything has been set out doctrinally, so that we know how we are to conduct ourselves in the house of God. And then finally, we read the last book, the prophetic book, with all that has been determined for us by God in the plan of salvation, and which will find its fulfillment in the course of time. We must say, as this man of God has said here, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that man should fear before Him. Isn't that glorious? What God does, whether in you or in me, is valid forever. whether he does it through us, it is eternally valid. Everything that goes out from God returns to him again after it has accomplished in our lives and through our lives for what he has sent his word to do and what he had ordained to be done. As the opening word was read, my eyes fell on the left-hand page here, in the same chapter, and there is the praising song of Mary, and that too is something quite glorious. We know both Zechariah and also Mary, they heard angels' word, and they both burst into prophetic speech. And it's written here, side by side, in Luke chapter 1 of Mary. We read here from verse 46, and here it says, "And Mary said, My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." This is like half a sermon preached here. And yet it is not a sermon. It is a hymn of praise. It is what we hear sometimes here in new tongues and then in German the interpretation. It is a hymn of praise that the Spirit of God brings about of gratitude in which the thoughts of God are rendered in order and we can rejoice in what the Lord gives us by grace. We all know that sisters are not allowed to preach, but when the Spirit of God takes hold of them, then the song they sing, the psalm they bring, is like a whole, like a mighty sermon, like these words here. Who wants to stop it? May God grant that they may all become prophets, that they may all hear angels' word, and that the Spirit of God may come upon all, and that they may all praise and render the divine thoughts in order and rejoice therein. For we have read it, everything that God does is eternally valid. Who among us can change anything? Who can add? Who can take anything away? No one. God has arranged it this way, so that people may fear him. We are simply full of confidence, not in ourselves, but because we can believe with all our hearts that the Lord God will bring the work he has begun to completion in our day. I would just like to briefly mention a few scriptures, beginning with the book of Acts, chapter 7. Here the part of the Old Testament is reproduced so that we know in what way the Lord appeared on Mount Sinai and in what way he spoke there. Acts chapter 7 from verse 30. "And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out, after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. We see that Moses was this mediator who heard the word from the mouth of the angel of the Lord. He received it, and he brought these words of the Lord to the people of Israel at that time. If we then look into the rest of the New Testament, we see the way in which God has ordered things. We read Hebrews chapter 1, and just a few verses from that, and then come back to Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 to see in what heavenly harmony God works out on earth the things that he has in mind in heaven. Here it says in Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 5, For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. Perhaps we read from verse 10, And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old, as does a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? This is written with reference to the angels. We do not want to go further into this subject at all. I merely wanted to express in this place that all things that God speaks through the Spirit are right. Even if we don't know immediately where they belong, and ask ourselves the question, how is this to be classified now? Where does it belong? The best thing then is to wait quietly until the Lord lets the moment come, and then it just falls to us. Not because we want it, but because the hour and the moment comes when it is given to us by God out of grace. It is our conviction that in fact everything God does has its appointed time, and one cannot hurry ahead of it. You can't do it. God has already determined in the beginning it will be sowing and harvest, summer and winter. All these things God had already determined in the natural, and so He has also determined the time for everything in the spiritual. And He has done this so that people may fear Him. And when what He promised happens, then we all realize that it is perfect. Nothing can be taken away. You can't add anything to it. It is perfect. It is rounded, complete in itself. And we know exactly what He says, what He does is perfect. You just have to wait for the time when what He has promised can actually happen. Now we come to the part that is supposed to let us know what responsibility has been given and laid upon the messengers of God who were in charge in the seven church ages. For they too are addressed in the same way with the term angel. At the beginning of every church age message, as we have already looked at several times, it says, "Write to the angel of the church," Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, "unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." First of all, what John had already seen is being said. He saw the seven golden candlesticks. He saw one walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And this one had seven stars in his right hand. And these seven stars were the seven angels, the seven messengers of God here on earth, who were to pass on the word received from God to the church in the seven church ages. That is why every message was addressed to the angel. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." It has been said often enough that in this last time, not only the doctrinal and cognitive things, but the whole prophetic word had to be summarized in order to be able to give the right instruction to the church. And for this reason, the last messenger had to have a prophetic ministry, because a prophetic task had been set for him, namely to classify things correctly in this prophetic age and to place them in the place that God had determined and ordered for them. We must now perceive that just as then angels came from heaven, or in that case the angel Gabriel, and they spoke, and the people who received the word, they knew, "We have received God's word." They knew very well, an angel does not come to tell us anything here that was spoken about in heaven, but an angel of the Lord comes to bring a message from God, not to say anything, but to say what God has to say and to give information about the things that God has set out to do and that He is bringing to pass. Now, when we are faced here with a matter that God had seven angels in the time of the New Testament church who had been given the responsibility of bringing the word of the Lord to the church, then we must be clear that such a man cannot preach as our ears are itching, but that he has to bring the "thus saith the Lord," namely the divine message, the word of divine revelation, and tell it to the church. That is the great difference between the theologians, between those who are studied, We do not find that the Lord sent to Gamaliel that he might come to give information because he is well versed in the scriptures. Being versed in the scriptures only benefits those who are in the kingdom of God and who are enlightened by the Holy Spirit. All the others make their own rope around their own necks and then they hang themselves on it because here and there they can't cope with the things they encounter. I said it here a few days ago. The theologians read one gospel and therein it says that there were two thieves, one on the right, one on the left, and one gospel says they both blasphemed the Lord, and the other gospel says the one called on the name of the Lord and said, "Have mercy on me when you come into your kingdom." And the theologians say, where is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here? Where is the thing right with the Bible here? If they read right, they will also get the right answer. First, they both blasphemed, and then one came to his senses, beat his breast and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and remember me when you come into your kingdom." Both gospels got it right. One, what was before, the other, what was after, and both are quite right. And we all blasphemed, all of us, if you wanted to describe our previous state. And then afterwards we cried out, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and remember me when you come into your kingdom." But the scribes have very great trouble. They put one gospel next to the other. Here the Lord healed one leper, there he healed two lepers. And then there is some difference when you read the stories of the Bible, and then they have one next to the other, and the glasses are there too, and then they see everything even bigger, like it is in the first place, and the distance from things get worse and worse. For us, it's all very simple. Why is it easy for us? Because we know that even the apostles were not robots that could be set up like a computer. Each one reported as God put it into him. And we all rejoice in that. If you read the story of Paul's conversion, one report is different from the other. But that does not bother us at all. This shows us the work of God in an even more glorious way. And we don't dwell on anything because we know God has ordered things this way, and perhaps even so that some of the wise can stumble over it, because this is not meant for people to deal with it with their minds, but for it to be revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. We see here in the book of Revelation that the seven messengers of God, the seven angels, had the responsibility of bringing the word of the Lord to the church. And we are now living, fortunately, at the end of all time. There has never been a time like this in which God's word has been so gloriously and clearly revealed as in the days in which we live. And this too has been heard. John was taken away from this earth and transferred in the Spirit into the heavenly realm. And there he saw all that was to come and would happen to the church and what would happen to the nations, what would happen on earth, all the way to the new heaven and the new earth. We as believers need to be transferred by the same Holy Spirit into what was shown to these men of God. The task today is not for us to imitate a Brother Branham. I know enough brothers and dears. We know Brother Branham had a habit of giving a title to every sermon, and all the brethren who preached year in and year out, they never thought to say before the sermon, the title of this sermon is, but since they all know and knew that Brother Branham announced the title before every sermon. Now they all go to the front and then they say, the title of my sermon today is such and such. But the fact that they are imitators doesn't even occur to them. And every imitator is not an original. We can stand on our heads, and that doesn't change the fact at all. We don't need imitators. We need a real original, one after the other. Everybody has to be an original before the face of God. I'm not Brother Branham. Why should I try to do what he did? I'm not worthy to untie the straps of his shoes. But God is now revealing to his church what has been revealed to him. Whether I can give the sermon a title or not, the important thing is that in the sermon God can give us the connections that he has revealed to his servant and prophet. It is not about these external things that you can make the formulations as beautiful as they were made. It's not about that at all. But it's about the Holy Spirit being able to rule in our midst. And there are people who say, Brother Frank, you know very well that everything has already been completed. For thus it is written, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, then the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. What are you even bothering about when it has all come to a completion? Shall I tell you something? I am not bothering at all. We have long since established that the Lord God continues his way with us all. And if anyone thinks that brothers are struggling here, then we are on the wrong track. There are no brothers struggling or bothering here. Here the Holy Spirit is at work and shows us the way of our God until we see the pearly gates. What is the use of saying, it has all been finished, and then we cluck around and brood on rotten eggs, and that doesn't help anyone. What we need today is the guidance of the Holy Spirit, not going around in circles and talking about this and that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I was asked here today what the seven thunders are and so forth. What the seven thunders are. What is all this about? Whether they are in the seals or after the seals or before, does it bother you? Not to me. Not to me. Am I here like a vending machine where you just put in 10 pennies to get a solution out of it? Have we not long since seen that the Lord God has his way with us? And whoever has recognized this has come to rest in God. He has stopped all his own works and now sees the work of God in completion. It was not granted to Brother Branham, as it was not granted to a Moses, though God had talked with him face to face. You don't read later that the pillar of fire came down. But we read that later was fulfilled what had been said before. And so we see in this time the fulfillment of the Word of God. Brother Branham spoke of the restoration. We may experience it now. That is the difference. God sends his Word beforehand, and then he gives what he has promised. But just reciting all the things that have been said will not help anybody. Only becoming still and being silent. And sometimes I would like to ask the question, namely to the brothers who say that everything has come to a completion. Why are they still traveling around? And why do they still want to do something when everything has already come to a completion? Why? If everything is over, then we can stay at home and not make anyone restless and say, as the others do, that the time of grace is already over. For me, It is the culmination of the time of grace that God has given in these days. We have experienced a great measure of grace and mercy from our God. The rising from on high has visited us and shown us the way. I believe that since last night and since this morning, we can see even more clearly that God has a way with His church, and He will go this way until the end. We have said it, as it was at the beginning, so it will be now at the end. No more own way, no more own will. You alone decide. And when we have come to the point that the Lord has been able to take complete hold of us, that He can tell us what to do, then we have nothing more to fear. Then we know that His Spirit will guide us rightly and that He will give us the necessary indication at all times regarding what is to happen. And that is not our merit. That is God's grace, because we have recognized in this time that no one, be he who he is able to do even the slightest thing. But we have recognized that everything God does has eternal validity. And that is why we no longer do anything ourselves. We no longer do anything ourselves unless He has given us a commission. Then we carry out this commission. But beyond that, we do nothing. We don't go all out to do something. We have no plans. We only want one thing, like Moses. Lord, let me know your ways when I have found grace in thy sight. And I am convinced in this time, today, more than ever, that the Lord God Himself is doing His work in His church, and that He is looking for people who are open to the work of His Spirit and who are willing to be led by the Spirit, who do not present Him with a program, but who are willing to be led by His Spirit. That is all we want. We have heard today that the Lord has spoken in various ways, also in our days. If we were to list and consider God's speaking in this place alone, it is so manifold, so many-sided, so powerful, and for that we are grateful. In a time when people say there are no more gifts of the Spirit, are we blessed by God using the gifts of the Spirit? Shall I tell you that there are people who simply say, only Brother Branham had the right to preach and no one else, and they think we have sinned because we have preached the precious Word of God? Woe to me and to all of us who preach His Word if we don't preach it. For how shall the people hear if no one preaches to them? How can anyone preach to them unless he is sent to them? It is beautiful that we have no headquarters on earth, but only in heaven. And if you want me to say it here, we didn't come all the way to Jeffersonville. We have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, where the Word of God came and was revealed, and the cloud of glory descended, and the presence of God was there, so that if a beast touched the mountain, it had to die. So holy is the place where God speaks. And we don't need to go across the ocean to hear the Word. It has been given to us by grace. It has come to us. I don't hope it will come overseas. But we don't mean anybody. I'm just rejoicing because today something has happened with me. I have been down myself at times, wondering, Lord, what will happen next? We have all approached these days more or less with a great expectation. Isn't that right? And behold, God has spoken to us in this place. Whether our expectation was different, I don't know. I never have my own expectations, so I'm never disappointed. I can always rejoice in everything that God gives us by grace. But this is how we read it. We have come to the city of the living God. We are thankful for the ministry of all servants and all prophets. We are thankful for a John on the Isle of Patmos, for a prophet Daniel, and we are especially thankful for our beloved brother Branham. But idolatry we will not do. We will worship God, but not worship idols. And in this place, the name of the Lord shall be glorified, and His word shall be put upon the lampstand. For the place where God speaks with us is holy, and we must take off our shoes, for our God is a consuming fire. And He has spoken in a mighty way to all of us in these days by grace. We know what He does is perfect. And I don't hope that there is a person among us who says, Brother Frank and Brother Russ, they are doing a thing there in Krefeld. This may not be heard. It is the work of our God, who has given His instruction, and on the basis of His instruction we have acted. He has confirmed it, and has blessed thousands upon thousands, and led them to Himself, forgiving them iniquity and sin. While other people say that the time of grace is over, hundreds and thousands have been able to experience the grace of God and have received forgiveness of their iniquity and sin. Is that not reason to give thanks to the Lord? Most certainly. Give thanks to the Lord and come before His face with joy, for He has done great things for us. And so it says in the prophet Joel, in connection with the restoration, that we will be glad and rejoice in the name of the Lord our God, and never again be ashamed or disappointed, because God restores. And we have also gone through it here concerning Job. It is an example of true restoration, and God gave him a double measure at the end of his life and crowned him with grace and with mercy, so that there was enough and abundance, and all could come again to rejoice with Job, because God had turned his fortunes. We all sat like Job on the ash heap and could not help ourselves, nor became a blessing to others. But God had mercy on us and looked upon us graciously and helped us on the day of salvation, that we might rightly order His thoughts in this time. You all know there are people who have trouble ordering their own thoughts, and there are others who have trouble ordering the thoughts of God. But when God gives us grace, then the hour and the day comes when we are shown connections that we did not see before. And we can often enough remember the hours in this place where the presence of God came down, and we entered this place here with fear and trembling, because we did not know what to say, and the Spirit of God has been upon us all and has led us into the deepest depths of the mysteries of God and His word and His purpose in these last days. While others are going around talking about what God did 20 or 10 or more years ago, there are people on earth who can say, today the Lord is in our midst. Today He has spoken to us. He is not the I was. He is the I am. He is present among His people to speak to them and bless them. That is a grace. We didn't take it, and we didn't give it to ourselves. He has given it to us by grace. Sometimes I think the whole world should be able to see the way the Lord blesses us by grace. And we are glad of it. We never know how a meeting begins and how it ends. Sometimes we wait for a revelation of the Spirit and it doesn't come. Other times we don't wait and it comes. It doesn't come the way we want it to come. In our Bible it is written, no prophecy has ever come by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's how it happens here in our midst. Therefore, it can happen that a weekend goes by without anything happening in this way. And that is just proof that it is not man, but the Spirit of God that is working here. If you already knew that there is a prophecy every hour in Krefeld, then you would know exactly the program, how it is going on here, and then you would know that God is not in the program. But we all come together, and no one knows what is happening. One thing we do know is that God speaks to us, and sometimes He speaks through His Word in such abundance that nothing more needs to be added. And then we are already happy about that. Sometimes He will say something about it, and then we are happy about it. The Lord does what pleases Him, and nothing should be taken away from His doing, nor should anything be added to it, because it is perfect, and God has arranged it that way, so that you may fear Him. And when we come together here in the presence of God in such a way, then He will come to His right. And I know Brother Branham once said, without any healing services or any other miracles happening, in the context when he was talking about the seven church ages and about the seven seals probably, he said, never before have I come into or been taken into the spiritual heights as during these services. Not much was visible on the outside, but it was the revelation of the Word. And there is no higher service in the Church of the Living God than the revelation of the Word of God, than the speaking of our Lord, and then our hearts burn. I think it was Brother Klaus who said to me after the service this morning, Brother Frank, forgive me, I couldn't resist. And there were some young brothers who said almost the same thing. One brother said, it almost knocked me off my chair. Dear brothers, dear sisters, God's Spirit is working once again, and we have experienced the presence of God in a wonderful way this weekend. He has spoken to us as a father speaks to his children and has made known and revealed to us the mysteries of his will and word concerning the very last phase. Now it is only up to us to be still before the face of God and to know that he will do the rest and will fulfill everything as He has planned. With our God, everything is in order. Everything has its time. The date of the rapture is already fixed. Everything is already fixed. We don't need to calculate anything. We don't need to set a date. The Lord will not depend on it. He has His plan, and it is ready and finished. And he has people who want to be nothing, who want to know nothing, but only Jesus Christ, the crucified, the risen, and the returning Lord. I'm grateful to God that we have come back to this balance, that Christ can be the center in everything, in our life, in our singing, praying, preaching, in everything. He has become the center by grace. And it is He who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He had the seven stars in His right hand. They brought the message at that time. And then we received it and passed it on. And now we can all rejoice and know what the Lord has spoken and in what way He will do the finishing with His church. I say it as I did this morning. If someone asked me, how is it going to be? I would have to say, I don't know. But I know the Lord knows. And He will do it in His time. That's not a lame excuse. That is a thing we openly and freely confess before the face of our God. We will go on every step as He will lead us. And in the end, we will see the glory of God. And the name of the Lord will be highly praised for all that He has done. And we will be able to say, He has shown Himself glorious in us all. We can exclaim with Mary and with Zechariah what they exclaimed then. Praise the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me, praise His holy name. That's how it is already written in Psalm 103. And we can say, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for He has looked upon the lowliness of His people and has visited us as the rising from on high, according to the promises He graciously gave to Abraham and his seed. There is really nothing left for us to do but thank the Lord. What I brought last night and this morning, I was commanded to do. I did it. Now it is in our hearts, will be a part of our spiritual existence from now on. And we will know in what way we have to reckon with the working of God in the future. Not that someone will come and say, Brother Frank, it is now time to do this or that. But everyone will know that when the hour comes, the Lord will give us the commissions that we will carry out. And on everything that happens then will rest the full victory and full blessing, and no one will be able to add anything to it. The work of our God is perfect. Even though He does it through the cooperation of men, it is still His doing from beginning to end. A Moses lifted up the rod, but who parted the Red Sea? A Moses took the rod, struck the rock, who gave the water? We could go on and give the examples all. Joshua marched around Jericho, but who knocked down the walls? Can you tell me? Our God lives, and He will know when the wall collapses, and He will know who should march around it. When the Lord says, Joshua, march around 7 days, and on day 7 it will collapse, Joshua could sing and play. He could be happy every time he went around, thinking, my God, it's about to happen. It's about to happen. He didn't worry at all. He knew the Lord said it, and he obeyed. And suddenly, it crashed. I'm glad. I've seen the collapsed walls of Jericho myself as a reminder that they collapsed a long time ago. God is faithful. He keeps His word, and He will keep His covenant and the promises of the covenant with all of us. until we come from believing unto seeing. Let all restlessness be taken from us, all haste and all hurry, that we may be still in God and come to rest in Him, saying, Lord, not that we become indifferent, that is not what I mean, in the attitude of prayer, in great expectation, every time we gather here, there's always a great expectation, right or not. Three times a week, we come together here. We don't know what to expect, but something from God. And what He gives us, we receive with joy. And every time we are blessed, right or not. Have we ever left here unblessed? No, and again no. Each time we have been blessed by the word of the Lord. And we have experienced that the cloud of His glory has settled over us, and that He has supped with us, and that we have had fellowship here with our God, and knew we are standing and are in His presence. Our Lord has shown Himself glorious, and with the word, we have also read it today from the Gospel of Luke, when the angel of the Lord gave the announcement, heavenly light and the glory of God came with him. And those who have heard what was said, they were all in this light that came with the one who had to bring the message. We believe that with the last message came a divine light that shines around us all, that plucked us out of darkness, and in that divine light we may walk, and he who walks in the light does not stumble, and if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, makes us free from all sin. There is a lot involved. You can't just say, I walk in the light and kick the next one and give him a blow here and there. That is not walking in the light. Walking in the light means having divine fellowship with one another. And it is written, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That can only be where the divine message and the divine light comes, and we receive it, and then we go and find that it is as it was announced to us. There are people who say, oh, Brother Branham has spoken of so many things, but when you look at the things, you don't see them. No, that is not right. Either you have not heard well, or you have not come to the place yet. There are people who have listened and run off and then don't know where to go and come back. These shepherds have waited the heavenly visit, the announcement. They were clearly told, today such and such has happened. Have this as a sign. If you go there, you will find. They were waiting. They were in that light. They remained silent until the speaking on behalf of God was finished, and then they went, and then they found as they were told. If we have heard in this time the angel's message, however we want to put it, the evening message or the word of the Lord for this time in the divine light from beginning to end, then we will only find things as the Lord has told us. And I tell you, we have to wait for the time, and then we will also see the restoration as we have heard it. Through the announcement of the seventh angel that God has sent with a message to the church in this time. But if we run before that, just think of the story with the prophet Elijah. He knew that a cloud was going to come up and that it was going to rain. But Gehazi ran once, and he ran the second time, and he thought maybe on the fifth or sixth time, "Man of God, why are you sending me? Why do I run and toil? Where's the cloud of which you spoke? Thou hast told me, Gehazi, I have seen the cloud rising like the hand of a man." He could have said, "Listen, man of God, have you perhaps been mistaken?" "No," he says, "now go again, and then you will see it." And then, when he went at the proper time, he saw what the prophet had announced. One day, maybe 5-6 times, we come and say, "Lord, I wanted to see something, and that is what you promised." And we go back. And then people say, "Brother Frank said, and Brother Russ, and Brother Branham, that we are going to experience this and that, and we didn't see it, and we didn't experience it." I tell you this, keep coming. But one day, you will not come in vain. One day, the hand will be revealed. The arm of the Lord will be stretched out over all nations. And we will come together and be like those who dream and say, "My God, all the other journeys have already been worthwhile in view of the fact that we have now come for the last time to see the victory of our God and the glory of the Lord." The hour is coming, as sure as God lives and has said it, it will all come to fulfillment. But I can't tell you it will be on the 1st or 2nd of November. I can't tell you it will be in December, but one day it will be. And the time is very close. It's best you come every time, because it could be at any time. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. No way is too far for us, no effort too hard, and petrol not too expensive. As long as we can still drive, let us drive to hear the word of our God. One day we will be gathered here, and something mighty will take place by the grace and power of our God. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Let us bow our heads for a few moments and close our eyes. I do not want to end this meeting without giving all those who have not yet consecrated their lives to the Lord the opportunity to do so now. Dear friends, the coming of Jesus Christ is very near. We have written and preached about it and set forth from the Holy Scriptures in which time we live and what God has done. We cannot talk about everything here in 3 meetings. But God can continue to speak to every heart through the word of the Scripture. And while all our heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, let me ask you this question. Is there anyone here who is not ready to meet the Lord Jesus? Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. You cannot enter into glory because your mother is a believer, or your father, or whoever. Your hour has come today. And the Lord calls and exhorts and says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest for your souls." We would like to pray for you. Just where you are, raise your hands for a moment and put them down again. Thank you. God sees your hands, and God sees the hearts. Even if you are new to this kind of gathering, A church service is not a funeral service where you have to bow your head and sing songs of mourning. A worship service is about proclaiming the word of the Lord and the delicious things of the kingdom of God that we rejoice in. And when we all pray together, it is our heart's desire to do so. And often, many have not been able to pray individually, but together we all can. And we all owe it to the Lord to thank Him and exalt His name. I ask now, Brother Rus, that He will pray with us and with all those who raised their hands. Heavenly Father, we are still coming together, O God. Lord, you have seen the hands that have been lifted up, and also the hearts, Lord, for you see into the heart. Lord, grant mercy to all those who have raised their hands and want to testify before you that you save them and that you accept them, Lord. For today is still the day of salvation. Today we may still come. Today you are still calling, Lord. Today you are still knocking at the door of our hearts that we may open. Lord, help my dear brothers and sisters. Help young and old, Lord, who still want to come before the day comes, Lord, when it will be too late. Lord, I pray you, accept them by grace. All who have lifted their hands, grant them your salvation, especially now in this hour. Lord, to all of us, Lord, we come and rededicate ourselves to you. Lord, may you give us all the Holy Spirit. May you baptize us with spirit and fire. Lord, we need it more and more, Lord. You know our desire. You know our longing. May all be put out of our hearts, Lord. All evil, Lord. All deceit, all pretense. May we mean it sincerely now and bring you the glory and the worship. Hallelujah. Lord, we are so glad to come. After all that we have heard, we see there is still grace. Lord, how wonderful. We praise your grace. We glorify you, Lord. You still say, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden. O Lord, how wonderful that we may come now. Lord, from this hour, we receive our salvation and we thank you from the depth of our hearts. Help my brothers and sisters. Help those who have lifted their hands, that they may call upon your holy name and say, Lord, you have accepted me now. I am yours for time and for eternity. Glory to your wonderful name. You will continue to be with us. Hallelujah. Amen.